The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our lead story this evening, I'm joined by Dr. Omu Kakuyaha Mutunda, a lecturer at the University of Namibia. Welcome, Doctor.
Yes, Angie. Thank you for having me.
From an economic perspective, how important is this kind of structured public-private dialogue for a country like Namibia?
Yes, Angie, I think it is very, very important. We start so many initiatives that dies in the fancy or that we could call steel bonds. And if it is well coordinated and everyone puts the shoulder to the wheel, then definitely it'll be very, very important, because the private sector should be the driver of economic growth and employment creation.
Doctor, what does this forum signal about Namibia's current approach to economic development and competitiveness?
What we have for the longest while heard is that there are triple P's, the private-public partnership. If this partnership goes well, and it not only includes the Namibian private sector, but also try to attract international partners or FDI, foreign direct investment partners, to be part of this initiative, then definitely it'll mean a lot for economic development. What should be emphasized is that government in a small economy like this, their investment is also important, as long as it crowds in the private sector and not crowd it out. That is very, very important for economy.
The theme focuses on driving decent and sustainable job creation. What economic conditions need to be in place for this to happen?
For it to happen, I think what we should remember is that Namibia is a very small economy. For you to have a sustainable economic growth is only when your everything you are doing is geared towards trying to create economies. That is economies of scale, achieve economies of scale, meaning that you produce at a scale that will bring your cost down, and bring your prices down. People in the world will buy if your prices are less than another country or competitive when it comes to wealth prices. It doesn't matter whether you are exporting to Zambia, Nigeria, using the African Continental Free Trade Area or so, but it is only when you have that sufficient scale. And one thing that I think, Angie, we have to try as government, when I'm saying we, I mean the Namibian government, they should try and create what I call local champions. Let's say you take Dinapama, for instance. That is a clothing company here, an apparel company, and try to see how you can support it to become a big company that will have that potential to have that scale that is required for you to export at competitive prices.
Then, do you believe Namibia's current policy environment is conducive to inclusive growth, or are structural reforms still needed?
Now, when this term inclusive growth is thrown, not recklessly, but what it means sometimes it confuses you. But what I think is that what you are saying is that you take SMEs by the hand and make them to grow so that they can employ Namibians in their companies, because they are now a big companies kind of, or they have grown to an extent that will give them that competitive edge by having economies of scale that will bring prices down and that can allow you to compete with companies in South Africa, Nigeria, etc., because you only, not only have good quality goods, but also that scale, that is the amount requisite for bringing your prices down.
Now, Dr. Omo, Namibia has struggled with competitiveness compared to regional peers. What specific areas looking at infrastructure, regulation, and the labor market should be prioritized for reform?
One could say that, but I think everything that you have said is in place. We have good infrastructure. Perhaps the thing that we are struggling with are skills. But skills you can import if you are certain that you are going, or you have some export markets, you have identified those markets, then you can import some of those rare skills so that you can add value to the products that you are manufacturing, and then try to push very hard to have that, what I called the economies of scale. So it is very, very important. It's only then that you can be competitive in the region as well as globally. But one thing that I should also add, when the Botswana president was here, that is Duma Boko, one thing that he mentioned that attracted my attention is how can countries like Namibia and Botswana put up joint ventures, be it in Namibia, let's say, for instance, leather that will be supplied to automakers in Germany or France or wherever, and then they can put that in here, bring in hides from, animal skins from Botswana to Namibia, and Namibia bringing its own hides and skins so that they can have a bigger factory that will bring prices down. And in that way, Namibians will be employed and vice versa. If we put up something in Botswana, be it in whatever industry that is, where Namibians can also go over there in joint ventures, that is only when the two countries can achieve that scale and their companies can employ more people and also export to other countries at competitive prices.
Now, looking at past initiatives, they have promised collaboration but delivered little. How can Namibia ensure that the outcomes of this forum led to real economic change?
Yes, yes. Sometimes what I usually say is that most of the things collapse because there are no serious incentives when it comes to, let's say, export markets, when it comes to things like taxes, etc. You remember we had the EPZ, now we are going to another one called Special Export Zones, ZES, etc. So if in those, let's say ZES, which is a special economic zones, if you put up some good incentives and that will attract private sector to go in there and do real work. Because sometimes what I'm saying is that when it comes to, okay, you talk, and then you say, now show me the goods, show me the money. There is nothing to show for. So that is where the problem is. But if, as I have said, you try and have your champions, that is industries that are doing very well or very well, and you support them in any way possible in terms of incentives in a special economic zones, that will be sustainable. But if you just talk and you leave it to themselves to struggle, trying to get markets, trying to get raw materials, it definitely will collapse. Or because the business people won't come to the party. That is the private sector. And if it is started by government on its own, then definitely you'll again just struggle to get those companies grow, like Argus 26, for instance. Argus 26, they are manufacturing boots and other things, but I think we still import big time from Brazil in terms of uniforms for the armed forces, etc. So that is one thing, is incentives and the reasonable as well as well-thought incentives to the private sector.
Dr. Omo, just lastly, can reforms like this one realistically lead to more jobs and investment?
Definitely. If you remove red tape, government should try to smooth the path of the private sector without, that is, like creating incentives, getting export markets, trying to put things like export insurance in place by not run by talking to, let's say, commercial banks or the Development Bank of Namibia in a kind of an export-import kind of an initiative that will support sector, then definitely you will create jobs. But if you are there trying through corruption and other means intervene so much in those initiatives of the private sector, you'll basically kill the private sector, because the private sector, they are profit-driven. And if they make some good profits, they will employ more. And that will lead, of course, to economic growth and employment.
Dr. Omo, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Angie, for having me. Bye-bye.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.